Praise God. I don't know of ever a time that I've done something for the Lord that I haven't been blessed more by doing it than those that were being blessed. Anybody here find that kind of, that's kind of the way it goes? I've done Kairos weekends in prisons, and I always come back with just being so filled to overflowing, I just can't contain it. And I just have to say that it's also a wonderful time to just come to know and fellowship with your brothers in the Lord, to stand side by side for a task for Christ. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, 10,000. Wow, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And so I just want to real quickly share, because I know I'm kind of coming out of order here in the service, but there ain't no order. Praise God. Earlier on in the week, it was nighttime. It was hot. I hear it was hot here too. You don't know. And the Lord directed me to the scripture where the woman with the issue of blood came up behind Jesus, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and virtue flowed from Jesus to this woman. And I really love that story. She was immediately miraculously healed. But the Lord rebuked me at that point and said, don't visualize yourself as the woman that's coming up behind and just kind of just reaching out for just a little bit of what Jesus has. Jesus then spoke to me and said, picture yourself as the one with the garment on. And I was so excited. Now, I usually, you know, as a school teacher, I tuck my shirts in, but I mean, it was so hot, all my shirts were always out. And that next morning, I get to the VBS, and there's 100 kids all over the place. And there was this one little girl that came up behind me, and she literally tugged on my shirt. She didn't know that the virtue of Christ was going to flow into her. When she tugged into this thing, I turned around, and even though I'm not very, it's like, and I looked down, and she just lifted her arms like this. She simply, all she wanted was a hug. I'm telling you, I don't know what this girl experienced, but when I hugged her, it was like the power of God just came all over me. It's that simple, guys. Don't go even necessarily with a plan or agenda. Just simply know that you have the garment of Christ on. It says to put on the garments of Christ. Amen. The day after. That's okay, Grace. It's overwhelming because the next day we went to the infirmary. Now, this is where people are living, where literally their dining area smelled like the horse barn. And there was flies all over. Now, I'd been to the infirmary when I went to Jamaica 6 years prior, and I really didn't want to go. I was fighting. I was fighting inside. It's like, I don't even want to see this. I don't want to experience it anymore. I don't want to do it. I got there, and there was this one. She must have been 95. She may have been 65, but she looked 95. I've noticed that this type of, you're living in an environment, you age very quickly. And she started talking about her loving Jesus. And I was so blessed by that woman. And she kept grabbing onto my hand. And every time she did, it was again like virtue started flowing. And just the love of Christ started flowing. And every time she put her, you could see in her countenance getting brighter and brighter. And I needed to start going around and greeting others. And as I was leaving, guess what she did? She tugged on my shirt. And it was the topper. I turned around and I just simply said, "Jesus loves you." And she shook her head with a smile. All I can say is, everyone in here should be looking toward stretching yourself to do something for Christ. It may not be overseas. It may be in a prison. It may be on the street in Kingston. It may be any place. But picture yourself as the vessel to which Christ's love will flow. And you'll have experiences that you can't buy money for. A billionaire could not have paid for that experience I had with that little girl. There's no way that you could buy that. And even though the existence is tough, even though it may be rough as you go, know that it's all worth it because it's just like a twinkling of an eye. I have a word about an offering. Thank you, Lord. I have come to understand a principle about giving. The Jamaican team not only gave of their finances, but they gave of their life as we went down. They gave of their time. And I've come to realize a principle, and that is, a farmer takes a seed and he plants it in the ground and then he expects a harvest. We, as we prepared as a team, we prepared by taking that seed of our faith and we planted it in the ground. And as we went, we planted our love and we're expecting a harvest. In the same way, we need as individuals to start planting our finances, our lives into Christ, expecting an abundant crop, overflowing, pressed down. Not only that, but if you're not called to go, you need to be starting to plant some seeds for others that can go. Because there's many others that may not have gone because they just didn't have the finances at the time. But together, we can provide enough so that everybody that feels led to go can go. Amen? Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray. Come on, Jamaica team. Come on. They blessed us as much as we blessed them. And they got this little song that they did for the offering. All right? And it really touched each and every one of us. I'm telling you, this was such an awesome trip in God. I mean, the love of God. And believe me, I tell him, did I stretch this to the limit? I stretched them all to the limit. I took them all out of their comfort zones, each and every one of them. But you're going to hear about that, okay? Let us just pray. Eternal Father and our God, we're just so grateful and thankful, oh God, that you give us another opportunity to give, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that it's from your hand of provision that we are even able to give, oh God. So, Father, today we just want to bless you, dear God, for everything that you have done for us, dear God. And yes, we are no longer look like beggars, dear God, but we expect, dear God, do you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. So as you take the offering, I want you all to participate too, okay? This is going to be a little participation. And I want you to think about this song and thinking about what it's saying as far as you giving to God. All right? And hopefully it'll change the way that you see, because I know every time it comes to money. See, it ain't big money when you got to go on vacation. It ain't big money when you want to buy a new car, a new house, and all that other stuff. But when it comes to the house of God, everything becomes big money. But you'll never outgive God. Never. God will never allow you to outgive him. But just think about it. All right? I'm not trying to pump you up or do anything. But just think about it, because we serve a loving God. Amen? Amen. No, they're right here. Yeah. Okay. All right. No, now listen. This is different. I said this is participation. You're going to have to get up and bring your offering to the Lord. It said bring all your tithes into the storehouse. So you bring it. Amen? It's time for you to start bringing things to God. God, this is what I present to you. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Wait. Back up. Yes. Not that eager right now. Okay? All right. Wait, usher, stand right here. Okay? All right. Y'all ready? All right. Go ahead.
Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. One more time. Give it with love. Sow it above. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with love. Sow it with love. Give it with a willing heart.
Amen. Because we give it with love, we sow it above, and we give with a willing heart. Amen? Amen. At this time, let us just release our children. We thank God for them. Father, we just say it. Okay, just kidding. See, one thing, I want you to understand this. One thing that even though, and they're going to tell you, even though I led the team into Jamaica, they were all in charge. Because I just stepped out the way. Okay, let's do it. Because as a leader, that's what you got to do. Okay, I know what God has called me to do, but my Bible says to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen? And as being a good leader, sometimes you just got to say, go ahead, do your thing. And they did their thing. Trust me, they did their thing. All right? So what are we doing first? Number four. And I want you to go ahead. Yeah. Come on. This is about, this ain't church as usual. Come on. Get your little. Yeah. Can we have all the children come down in the front? Come on, children. Come on down. Bring all the children down here up front. Good idea. See, that's what I like. Come on, children. Where's all the children? Bring all the children right here. Come on. Because I want you to understand something about Jamaica. Jamaica is a nation that is filled with a lot of people who need a lot of help. The structure is a fatherless nation, and these children were just so full of love because of what they touched. The love that this team gave them as fathers, we just hugged on these children. We just loved on these children, and that's what they need. You know, when Monday they was like Bebe's kids. Anybody see Bebe? Them wild kids. But by Thursday, they were in order and ready to do whatever we asked them to do. Come on, children, line up right here. Come on, move over here. All right? And I want all the big kids to participate too, okay? Because Jesus said, suffer not the children to come unto me. So we still got to come to Christ with a childlike heart. Amen? All right, come on, let's do this. Come on, get up, Kim. This song says, I've hidden your word in my heart. Now listen, this was the one that turned him out, okay? So let the little kid in you just let go, all right? And let God, amen? Come on, the kids were louder than you were. And decided to do the thing. Come on, I'm following Jesus. Hey, 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 following Jesus. Hey, 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 I'm following him too. I'm following Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, 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 I'm following him today. All right, come on. Okay, here we go, here we go. The cross before me, the world behind me, I keep my eyes on him. My only creator, my only savior, and even my sin. The world behind me, the world behind me, I keep my eyes on him. My old creator, my only savior, forgiver of my sin. Amen. I'm following Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you, oh God. Are you keeping them? You set, releasing them? Father, okay. Father, we just thank you, oh God, for our children, oh God. And, Father, we just ask that you just bless them. We thank you for the teachers, oh God, that the words that they speak, oh God, may take root, oh God. Father, we ask that you would just bless them. Water it, oh God. Fertilize it, oh God, that it may bring fruit for your kingdom, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, you can go. Hey, 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 yeah. Could you imagine that with like 200 screaming kids in a building like this? I mean, it was awesome. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, praise God, that's so much excitement with the Jamaica team back here, and we're so thankful that they're home. All right, really. I just want to have a quick mention, a quick shout out to our sister Crystal that's back in the house of God. She was over there in Nigeria. She's back home. Crystal! Woo! And as you can see, if you're a visitor here today, sorry, the service is a little bit different, but we want to give all of the time to the Jamaica folks and let them share their testimony and their love with us this morning. And if you're a visitor, we do welcome you. And we do ask for all of the nations. You know, I'm from England. Pastor Vaughn, who's down in Virginia, is from England. We have Puerto Rico in the house. Yay! Woo! We have South Africa in the house this morning. Yay! So we are a church that is multinational, multi-ethnic, where God's people are welcome in this place. So praise God. Enjoy the rest of the service. Come on downstairs afterwards. Buy a hot dog. It's a fundraiser for India or a hamburger. All right? We'll see you downstairs.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. For all those who are thinking about going, because we're definitely going back. I mean, God has opened up so many doors for ministry other than just the VBS. There's so many things that happen. We went and Gary, Rich, and myself were able to go into a drug and alcohol rehab center. That was not even on the radar, but it just happened. All right? And we were able to give our testimonies and bring life and to bring hope to people. They were able, the girls didn't act right. We sent them into the teenage woman, teenage girls place. They kicked them out. I still don't know what they did wrong. But they didn't get to minister. No, what happened was that they were watching a game or something, so that never panned out. But we just had such a wonderful, wonderful time. And like I said, all of them was stretched to the limit. So I'm just going to let them all just share a little bit from their heart what God has done to them. You want to go first, Grace? Okay. Oh, Susan, okay.
I just wanted to piggyback on something Rich had said about going to the infirmary. Some of you know I have scent allergies, like perfumes and stuff like that. Well, the infirmary also had this smell to it that was pretty nauseating. And, you know, so I'm standing there, and I'm starting to focus on that, and I'm thinking, oh, no. So I just said, I didn't even ask God. I just said, God, please, you know that this is really hard, and I want to, you know, really minister to these people, and we were singing to them, and I said, so just take the smell away. Just take it away for the duration of the time I'm here, and he did. Wow. You know, the smell was gone. I was able to stay the whole time, and I wasn't feeling sick or anything, and I didn't smell anything after I told him just to take it away during that time. The other thing that happened was I was going to speak at one of the services, and you know, I really wanted to talk about joy, you know, the joy of the Lord, pure joy. And I wasn't sure if really that's what I was supposed to be talking about. And I got some confirmation before I left. And then while I was there, I was praying for some of the young girls at the services, and you know, they would share some of their stuff during prayer time, some of the abuse and just some of the hopelessness that they had. And it was, you know, it was really kind of weighing on me. So I spoke on the joy of the Lord. And a couple of the scriptures that I shared with them was James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You know, so I talked a little about that because we all go through trials, but we can still have the joy of the Lord through all those trials. And then the other one, I have some notes in here from the girls, was Nehemiah 8:10. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And, you know, some of the girls, I gave them the scriptures I had printed out and gave it to them because they want to feel the Lord in their life. They want to know that God is there. And sometimes we know as Christians that, you know, we know God's there, even though sometimes we don't hear him, you know, or we don't feel his presence. We know he's always there, but it's harder for them. It's harder for them because they're young. It's harder for them because there's a lot of legalism there. So it was, you know, so that's what I shared with the girls from Jamaica.
I was really overcome while I was there, and I was overcome when I came back, when we were singing in the song In Christ Alone, was scorned by those he came to save. And I tell you, we went into this girl's home, and you could just see the hopelessness in her eyes. But Jamaica was running that day in a track meet, and they were just all glued, you know, come on, Jamaica, come on, Jamaica. And here we are. The women are all standing off to the side, you know, hoping that the race will be over so we can come in and just, you know, touch them and pray for them and minister to them, even in just a small way. And as we're standing there, Jamaica loses and the U.S. wins. And all of a sudden, we all just wanted to go, ah. And so then all of a sudden, the walls went up higher. And the leaders, even though the head of the girls' organization put us on the agenda, the leaders who were there at the time did not want us in. Their attitude was like, don't you think we take care of our girls? Well, from what we had been told, the workers abuse these girls. They come in 13, 14 years old, and they're just abused, and they're put out on the streets. And you see just outside the door rows of men just kind of hanging around there. And you're thinking, what could they possibly be hanging around there for? The gate's supposed to be locked. And as we're leaving, the gate's open, and the girls are going to and from. And you're just thinking, these poor little girls, they're so hard because of what they've had to face. And we were scorned by those that we wanted to share God's love with. And so we're just praying that God will open the door, because the people there have been trying to reach into this girl's home. And sometimes there's a little flicker of light, but a lot of times there's a big blocked wall. So we just went out into the bus and we prayed. And we're just believing for God to break through those walls, break through those walls of abuse and whatever else is keeping them from receiving God's love. I want to challenge each and every one of you, if God has pricked your heart at all, to get a jar and write missions on it and start now investing in your future into mission, because this is an easy trip. It's easy in some ways. You have a nice bed to sleep in. You have water to wash in. It may not have had air conditioning this time. We didn't have our little America that we move into. We were really in the culture, although we were given American food mostly. But as we got there, we were faced with a decision. Okay, here's all these hard things that are happening that aren't like what we planned. So are we going to let the flesh rise up and God not get the glory, or are we going to let the flesh die? And it's not easy. It's not easy. Things aren't like you want them to be. It's not America. Let me say that again. It's not America. Don't expect it to be America. You're going as a servant of God. Amen. And God said, does the owner let the servants come in from the field and eat before him? No. The servants come in and they fix the meal for the owner first, and then they eat. We need to die to ourselves. And when I was there, God gave me Psalm 16, and you can read that on your own time, but it says, preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you. I'm going to skip around. My flesh, verse 9, my flesh also will dwell securely. Now I'm going to jump up to verse 6. The lines of my life have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful. Look around you, as Susan was saying, find joy in your trials, because it brings perseverance. It brings character. If you're sitting on your posh seats and you don't ever have to come up against anything hard, well, how are you going to stand when that storm comes? Some of the strongest trees are up on top of a mountain, but they may not be tall. But they're strong because they have to stand against that wind blowing against them. And sometimes they may not be pretty. They may be bent out sideways from the wind, but they're still standing, and their roots are deep. And you need to make your roots deep in God. So when it's time to pray, the Word of God is in here. So you have something to pray out. You have the promises to stand on, because you may not always have this with you. It's not easy, but the reward is beyond what you can imagine. Like which rich saying, it sounds silly that a little girl's hug But some of these kids remembered me from last year, and they came running up to me. I remember you. I remember you. And they would just give me a hug. And it just touched me. And here I have great nieces and nieces in here today, and I love them dearly. And I'm so happy when they give me a hug. But here's somebody I haven't seen in a whole year. And they are just so touched that I was willing to come back. So touched that I was willing to come and give again to their lives. I just want to challenge you. Start putting aside your seed wherever God takes you. Whatever God puts in your heart to do. Just start sowing now. Start sowing the word in your heart. Start sowing the prayers. Start sowing money into a jar. Or maybe it's investing in somebody else's missions trip. That's your seed. But pray and ask God what he wants you to do. We were talking about love your neighbor as yourself. And I challenge the kids. You know, you may not have a lot to give, but pray right now and say, God, who is it you want me to touch today? Share God's love every day. Who is it that you want me to touch today? Is it a little card? Is it Jesus loves you? Is it hugging someone? Is it forgiving someone? Just step out of your comfort zone. Letting the flesh fall off is hard, but the rewards are immeasurably great.
Praise God. God is faithful, amen. We see God do great things all over the place, in the church, on the street, in the villages. One day, it was Tuesday, we went out into the village to invite people to our service that night and to pray for people. And I see an elderly lady. In Jamaica, they thought I said an ugly lady. An elderly lady standing there. And I said, how are you doing today? She said, good. I said, how do you feel? She's like, oh, you know, here in America, you ask somebody how they're doing, they just say good. But in Jamaica, they'll tell you the truth. If they're not doing well, they'll actually say it. I said, well, I have pain in my body, and I felt that. That's why I was asking, how do you feel today? So can I pray for you? So we just start praying, you know, for God's light to fill her bones, to crown her with loving kindness and tender mercies, to satisfy her mouth with good things, so her youth is renewed like the eagles, you know? We're just praying for that life of God to come and fill her and bring strength and bring healing to her body. And we ask, you know, how are you doing? She's like, I'm feeling good. I said, 0, no pain, you know, 10 is really bad pain. How do you feel? She's like, no pain, you know, praise God. And she had a daughter there who was in her 20s. And I said, how are you doing? She's like, can we pray for you? And she's like, sure. I said, do you know Jesus? She said, I used to be a Christian, but I'm backslidden. I said, well, Jesus is so close to you. He loves you. You come right back to him today, you know. And she's like, all right. So we prayed for her. She rededicated her life to the Lord. And she had a little 6-month-old baby there. And so I dedicated the baby to the Lord, and she had a 2-year-old son, maybe 1.5. We prayed for him, just calling forth God's purpose and God's plan for his life, that at a young age he would know God and live for God and change Jamaica. And so that family was touched by God that day because we decided to get off the bus and just walk down the street and tell people about Jesus, you know? And we had another interesting experience on the street. Was that yesterday? 2 days ago. We go into Ocho Rios. And this guy comes up to me, Jeremy, and Brad, and says, so what's up, you guys want to smoke some weed? what you guys want to do? I said, we want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what we want to do. So he puts his bottle of liquor down, and he says, fill me up. And puts his hands up to heaven. And so we just prayed for him right there. Shakara baka mashika. Laid hands on him, prayed for him. And after he starts repenting, starts apologizing for even approaching us like that. Starts saying, you know, I have 2 children, and there's no jobs. I got to make money. I got to feed them somehow. I don't want to do this. But our government lets us do it, and they don't really care. And so, you know, we see a culture where we can't always relate to that. You know, of course, selling weed, selling ganja is not right. But this man, he said, I believe in Jesus. I pray every day, but I have kids to feed, you know. And I just had compassion for him. We just told him, you know what, man? You know, focus on God. Put him first. He'll provide for you. You don't have to do that. He'll provide for you a better way. He'll provide for your family. And he thanked us for that. Thanked us for the prayer, you know. And so we saw a lot of awesome things. And the last thing I want to share, what impacted me the most, was, you know, I think of the verse in James 1:27, that pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. you know, we were able to do some work for a lady who wants to make her house up to standards so she can adopt an orphan. It's funny, their own children can live there just the way it is. But in order to adopt, it has to be a certain way, you know, so it can be healthy and safe. So I thank God we're able to go there and do some work and, do some labor, work with our hands for Jesus. And I said, I'm fulfilling my favorite scripture right now. We're looking after orphans, widows, in their distress, you know. But after we finished the work, you know, mixing the cement and all that stuff, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was shoveling and lifting buckets and just doing what I could, you know. And there were some kids playing. One kid was probably like 12, 13. Another kid was like 10. And there was a little boy that was 5 years old. And older boys, they run off down the road. And the little guy's walking by himself. And he was like so small for five, you know. He's like a little tiny, skinny kid. And we're just walking together. And I said, you know, what's your name? He's like, Davey. And I said, do you believe in Jesus? And he says, yeah. I said, who is Jesus? And he says, God. And I'm thinking, wow, this little boy has better theology than most Americans do. And I said, you know, do you talk to Jesus? He says, yeah. I said, what do you say to him? He says, I pray to him. And I said, well, did you ever ask Jesus come into your heart? You know, because he came, he walked the earth. He took all the bad stuff upon himself. I'm trying to make it understandable for a five-year-old. And I know little kids can understand because my little sister was five when she got born again. And she was singing about Jesus shortly after that, singing about the cross. So, you know, I see a little boy, 5 years old, and I'm just telling him about what Jesus did for us in a way he can understand. And so we pray together, you know. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I put you first, Jesus. Yeah, I thank you. You died for me. I thank you for your Holy Spirit filling me right now. He's praying with me. And I just felt from God that this little boy is fatherless, you know. So I said, who lives at home? You have brothers and sisters? He says, yeah. I said, how many brothers? You know, one. I said, how many sisters? Two. I said, you know, and mom lives home. He says, yeah. I said, what about dad? And he doesn't say anything at first. I said, does your father live at home? And he shook his head, no. And he says, my father no love me. That's how he said it, you know. My father no love me. And I said, I think he does, you know. I said, why would you say that? You know, who told you that? And he says, he don't give me nothing. And I said, you know, maybe your dad's just poor. It's hard for him to give you stuff, but I think he still loves you, you know. And he's just nodding his head, taking it in. And I said, but you know what? God is a good father. He's our father in heaven. And he loves us so much, you know, and he loves you. And he wants to give you everything. He'll be your father, you know. And I had a revelation that moment because I thought of the verse that we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. And the best way that we can express love toward people is to give to them. That little boy taught me something that day. Of course, we understand that giving is a way of expressing love, but I'm coming to realize that maybe it's the only way. Because if you don't give something, how does the person know that you love them? Whether you're giving them your time, blood, sweat, and tears, like we're doing the work in the house. Money is a way of showing that we love people and love God, right? Because we give. We give healing to people. My father no love me. Why do you think that? Because he doesn't give me nothing. All of a sudden, the rest of the trip, I got a lot more generous. I just wanted to give everything. My suitcase came back pretty much empty because I gave everything away. But I just want to encourage everyone, you know, the best way we can show God's love is to be like him because he is love, right? And he gave. And he gives to us everything that we have. And so we can express love to people in Jamaica, but also right here in the Hudson Valley by giving our love, giving our time, giving our attention, giving our money, giving the things that we have to people, you know. So that little boy, he was so awesome. I have a picture with him, actually. And I'll never forget. And it just, I see when I spoke to him, he was taking it in. He could see the words going to his heart. I know his life was changed, and my life definitely was. So I just thank you all for your time. God bless you.
Well, this was my first missions trip. I had never been out of the country besides Canada, and I don't really consider that out of the country. And I didn't really know what to expect when we landed. And, you know, I was like, Lord, well, I know you're going to have your way. And I had no expectations because I just wanted God to do what he needed to do. And the children are really what touched my heart the most. I mean, I spent all day with them outside. And you could see when they first came, they were very, like, closed off, observing us, you know. And they didn't really, they wanted to be a little rebellious, and they wanted to, you know, test the waters. And by the end of the week, I'll never forget it, because the songs that we were singing today, it was the room that we did the VBS in, it would just suck your voice with all the people that were there. We'd be like, no, don't do that. Grace almost lost her voice. She was doing puppets and everything. She was like, Eleni, I got it. And, and at the end of the week, the kids, you could feel their voices resonating. They knew the songs, and the countenance changed. And you could see that, you know, what they were learning, they were actually, it was penetrating into them. And I just, like, we all looked at each other at a certain point, and we were like, oh my gosh. Like, at the beginning, they're like, hey, 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 like, what is this song, you know? And they're like, this stinks. And then the little kids would be like, what are you doing, you know? And at the end, the little kids were like, yeah. And even, like, the too cool for school kids that were like, you know, yo. You know, they were doing all the hand motions. And, you know, it was just amazing. And worshiping with everybody from Spoken Word was amazing. And to see how the Jamaicans praise God is something. It's like they just go at it, and they give their all, and they're dancing. They don't even need a song. They'll just be dancing away, and you're like, what song are you singing? And they're just like, girl, I know what I'm saying. I got a song in my head. It's from Jesus. And I'm like, okay. And we had baptisms, and that was really great. We had everybody at the beach staring at us, and this guy named Andre, I don't know whether he got saved or not, like, on the trip while we were there, but he got baptized, and it was amazing, you know, to see the willingness. You know, he was there one night, and then he was like, okay, I'm getting baptized. And he was this really quiet guy, and, you know, you could tell from the first night he came to the church that he, you know, he had stuff on him. And by the time we left, he was smiling more, talking more. And I just, like, the people are really what touched my heart. And I just fell in love with the country. Even though there's such poverty there, the people still, they have something in them. And I don't even know how to explain how much I appreciate this and how it has changed my life. And the people that I went with, our team, they were absolutely amazing. And I just praise God for everything that we did. And it was really life-changing. It wasn't just, okay, I'm doing all this work. I hate this. I'm hot. I'm practically dying of heat stroke. And but it was like you wanted to do it, because these kids, they looked forward every day. They were there, like, it was so early, and they were there waiting for us. And, you know, they're like, yay, you're here, you're here. And you're like, yeah, I'm so tired. You know? And I got really sunburnt. And they're like, poking me. And I'm like, ah, you know? But I just fell in love with them and the country. And I really saw how people, the Christians, like, that we were with, like Miss Marion and Frankie and Donna Lee, they really, you could see Christ in them, and you could really see how they are ambassadors for Christ and how they have such a heart for the people. And they were saying, you know, we've gotten so refreshed by you being here. You know, we were stressed out, and even though some things didn't go right, they were still refreshed and were filled up so they could keep on going. And I just was so blessed by them. I mean, I was so willing to give, and it was just so much fun for me, even though I was tired sometimes, I was hot, but it was just amazing. And I'll never forget, the service is what blessed me, and the kids, serving the children, because, you know, we need to come before God as little children. And I just saw how I was just so blessed by how they just came and were so willing to learn and, you know, hear what we had to say and really listen. And they weren't disrespectful. I mean, they tested the waters, but they listened. Not with me. And I just want to praise God for everything. And thank all of you for just being who you are, because you guys really blessed me. And praise God.
Hello. The trip was awesome. It was better than last year. For those who went last year, remember that. It was better. I would like to say something for those who did go last year. Travis, he needs some prayer, and I would like to have you guys pray for him, you know, because he's going through some hard things. And at the beginning of the week, like Eleni said, all the kids were like, there was like 80 of them there the first day, which was awesome. And they weren't paying attention at all. Like, we had this whistle thing where you whistled and everybody was supposed to shut up and raise their hand. And like, we did it. And like, and like, we practiced it, we did it like 3 times, and everybody did it. We were like, yeah, this is gonna be awesome. And like, during the day we did it, and like, no one paid attention. Everybody was like, oh, someone's whistling, that's cool. And by the end of the week, there was so many kids there, it was crazy. And the last song that we sung with "The Cross Is Before Me and No One's Behind Me, I Fix My Eyes on Him," Dwayne, for those who went last year, he turned down the music like all the way, and everybody on the team stopped singing, and all you heard was like the children singing, and it was so like uplifting to your heart, like, oh wow, like we really did something here. It wasn't what we thought. And that was my trip to Jamaica.
The first thing I want to do is I want to thank the family that sponsored me to go. This was a life-changing experience. And if you haven't gone on a missions trip, I strongly encourage you to go. I conquered my fear of flying. Yeah. almost passed out, taken off the first time, but... I didn't leave marks on you, Susan, did I? Because I grabbed a hold of Susan, and I was like, all right, we're going to do this. I have my barf bag ready. We're good. But we did it, and on the way home was better. Like Stacy had shared, when we got there, for me it was very overwhelming. I've never flown. I've never been out of the country. I don't really like heat. So when we got there, we didn't have air conditioning. And so when we arrived at the hotel, we all, you know, obviously we all wanted to shower. And so, you know, I hopped in the shower like I would at home and turned on both and almost had a heart attack because the water was like 3 degrees. I'm surprised everybody didn't come running because I screamed so loud. But I also had a very physically trying week. Sunday, I fell and sprained my ankle very gracefully, but I did. Don and I went in early to cheat and get coffee early, and Don didn't tell me that there was a step and that everything is tile. Their walkways are tile. They don't have, like, gravel or everything's tile, and it's very slippery. And so I didn't see the step and gracefully fell and broke the cup and the saucer and wore my coffee. So... I ended up with a sprained ankle, and then Wednesday I had a migraine and ended up very sick and in bed all day. But the ladies at the hotel were so awesome. They bought in cold washcloths and bought me ginger beer for my stomach, and they were very great. So Sunday morning we did service, and, you know, Sunday night, I don't know what we did Sunday night, I don't remember. Oh, we decorated. And so a lot of us were really just struggling with the difference of, you know, not having air conditioning. And so, you know, Stacy had prayed as well, and she got the scripture in Psalms. Well, God gave me Romans 8:18, which says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And so I shared that with them on the bus. And, you know, it was from then on that I realized that, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm hot and sticky and continuously wet. And, you know, I mean, it was hot. It didn't make a difference because we were there to touch someone else's lives. It wasn't about us. It was about touching them. And I think, you know, I love the children. They were awesome. But I think what impacted me most really was the girls' home. And even though we didn't get to minister really to them, I don't think that there's a single woman here will say that it didn't impact us. Because when we drove up, obviously, the Jamaica, you know, they were watching the race. And, you know, we had said that we were going to leave. We weren't going to, you know, push the issue of ministering. We prayed on the bus, but as we were leaving, there was two girls standing by the gate, and so Marianne asked the bus driver to stop the bus, and she got out with the bag of stuff that we had bought for them, and there was two girls that came around, and it happened to be right outside my window, and, you know, Marianne was talking to them, and I could vaguely hear what she was saying, and the first girl was 13, and she had only been there a few months. I think she said 3. And the girl behind her was 14, and she had been there for 8 or 9 months. And the difference between the two girls was so vast. The first girl, you could tell that she still was so open and hadn't been impacted by her environment. I mean, her hair was done, and her clothes were neat, and she was covered, and she looked Marion in the face when Marion was talking to her, and she was receptive to the hug. And the second girl, who had been there a while, you know, her hair was disheveled, and, you know, she had a comb stuck in, and her clothes were dirty, and she wouldn't look Marion in the face. And, you know, that really made me think that, you know, we don't have to go to Jamaica to touch someone. I would have loved to have been in there and been able to pray for these girls. And yes, they have walls, and yes, they're being abused. But just by stopping the bus and touching two of them, they've experienced something that the rest of the girls didn't. But, you know, we have people right here as well, and it made me think, have I touched someone's life here that would prevent them going to a girls' home or a boys' home? You know, we have an opportunity here where they're not hidden behind these big walls and these fences with barbed wire on top, and they're gated in, and they're not allowed to leave that compound other than when the head lady's not there. You know, but we have the Boys and Girls Club, and we have brothers and sisters, big brothers, big sisters, and we really need to think about, you know, we have an opportunity all the time to touch someone's life and to pour into someone's life and stop them from going to a residential setting or even making a bad choice, whereas these girls are behind those walls, and they're not being fed the word of Christ. And that really impacted me. And like I said, even though we didn't get to physically pray for them or touch them, I will carry that with me forever because it was that, you know, that impactful to me. And I think the only other thing that I can really share is that, you know, these children are so awesome, and they kept, you know, they always want to touch you. And I came to the conclusion that it's not because I'm white, because they have Bill and Linda there, but it was because they could sense God in our team. And there was several little boys and girls that kept saying to me, Miss, you have beautiful eyes. And I thought, you know, well, I do have blue eyes, and obviously it's probably not too common over there. But it wasn't the color of my eyes. It was the love of Christ that they saw in me. and to know that that touched them, you know, because they kept wanting to poke me in the eye, you know, and they wanted to touch it, you know, they wanted to feel it, and you know, it doesn't matter what we're going through, you know, always know that you need to carry the love of Christ in you, because it could just be one look from you that will change someone's life. And I have never, ever been so grateful for my salvation in all my life.
All right, this is really quick. I got a revelation of what, like, God's love really is. That's it, basically.
Short and sweet. Wagwan. Madea. It's Patois, the Jamaican language down there. It's just kind of like slang for, like, what's going on. So you say, Wagwan, you know. And they would say, Madea. Not Madea. Not Madea Gosa. Madea Goes to Jail wasn't there. But Madea. And they're just awesome, awesome people. But first off, I just want to say thank you so much for all of your support that you gave me and the team. It wouldn't have been possible without all of your prayer and financial support and the support of this church and the vision of this house going down there and wanting to really just make a difference in another area of the world. So I just want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart, because it was an amazing trip. And I've been to Jamaica before, about 5 years ago, and I was really happy to go back again. And after this trip, you know, I know now there's just like a special, special place in my heart for the Jamaican people. And they're just great people, and I love them so much. And I just had an amazing trip with the VBS. And as most some people who know me that are close to me, surprisingly, I don't really like kids that much. But I made a decision a while ago, months and months ago, that God spoke to me. He's like, you really need to change your attitude with that. And I was like, yeah, I know. Especially that I have four small children in my life that I love dearly. Don't worry, Dan and Ashley. Just kidding. But I prayed to God. I was like, God, you need to change my heart in this area for me to be effective in ministry. And he totally did. And so, and that may not seem like a big deal for you guys, because you're like, who doesn't love kids? But I had to really, really change my attitude, and some other people know that. So, and I just had God really opened my heart towards children, and I just, you know, loved being with them, and I'm just really excited about, you know, being more involved with the children's ministry here. And you know, and I'm so thankful that I have a niece and three nephews in my life that I just love to no end. I just love them so much. But I just wanted to say, like, my favorite part of the trip was when we went to the infirmary, which was just down the street from our hotel where we were staying. And we went in, and like many of the rest of the team said, you know, it was really sad. They were just all, there was the ladies, you know, common room and the men's common room, and we went to the ladies' one first, and they're all, you know, crippled and really tiny and skinny, and, you know, they were just watching this giant TV, and they were all just kind of droning out and just sitting around, and it was really heartbreaking, because you're like, you know, you want to do so much for them. And so we started singing, and we went around and prayed for everybody and just, you know, hugged them and touched them and looked them in the eye. So, and I've been on mission trips before, you know, I've been on several mission trips before, and my heart was just breaking when Rich was talking, because it's so life-changing, no matter where you go or how long you do it. You have to keep doing it. You have to go in there, and if all you can do is just smile, that's great, you know?
And so we sang with them, and they were singing, and it was amazing. And I was so happy to be there. And we went into the men's common room, and we were singing with them as well. And I met this guy, Rupert. His name was Rupert. And he was awesome. And he was in a wheelchair, and I came up to him. And we were just chatting, and I was praying with him. And we started to sing. And we started singing Blessed Assurance. And we sang some oldies but goodies, because I'm sure they wouldn't have known, you know, Here I Am, Send Me. So we sang like Amazing Grace and some ones they would have known, so they were all singing along with us. And we were singing Blessed Assurance. And this guy, Rupert, was saying every line before we even sang it. He was like leading it, like calling it out. It was amazing. He was like, you know, Visions of Rapture. And like, I was like, thanks, Rupert, because I don't really know this song that well. And this guy was awesome. And he was just like so vocal. And he kept shouting out. He was like, you know, God is good. And he was saying all this great stuff. And we were singing, and I was singing right by them, touching his shoulder, holding his hand. And he started to cry. And so I started to cry as well. And I was just so happy that I could have been there to sing for him. I was so privileged to sing for him, because he couldn't really do it, so I was doing it for him. So it really touched my heart, because I was his voice, because he couldn't do it. So I did it for him. And he was so thankful. And he kept just declaring all this stuff. And he's like, God is good. And, you know, blessing and all this great stuff. He just kept pouring out of his mouth. Even when we were walking away, he just didn't stop. And I was like, Rupert, you got to tell him. You got to tell everybody here. And he was like, yeah, I will. So it was just an amazing experience. And I just want to, again, thank everybody for all your support and all your help. And like everybody else has been saying so far, really encourage you to do this. You know, Jamaica, even next year when we go, it's a really easy trip for first time. If it's your first missions trip, it's really easy. You know, we went to Guatemala a couple of years ago, and we, like, I wasn't as bad as some other people, but, like, they literally just stayed in, like, a shell of a house, and they just slept on the ground, you know what I mean? At least we had, like, bed. I walked in, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. We have a fan and a toilet, you know, and toilet paper, which is a nice thing. And so I really encourage you, start saving now, start praying now, start getting a vision, start getting the children in your heart, start speaking it out. You speak it, and it's, you know, in the air, and it gets put into action. So start saving up so you can go next year, because it is amazing, and you will not regret it. And I just thank you guys, and I love you guys so much. Thank you.
Well, yeah, talk about tough acts to follow. There's a whole bunch of them, but so a couple of things have come to mind, you know, come to mind this morning and through all this. One thing is there's no limit to what you can do for God if you're willing. And if you take his view of how he's provisioned you and how he has formed you and provided for you rather than your own. Now, I didn't leave anything on the table on this trip. I might have scared these guys a little bit in the way I was leading worship. I'm not sure, but I poured it all out, because it's too cotton picking far to go to come home with anything left. You know, and we got home late last night. You know, most of these guys, by the way, have only had a couple hours sleep one way or another, and I have more energy now than most of you do have their 10-hour sleep or something. You don't get to keep any of it unless you give it all away. So, I just want to encourage you to rebuke yourself when you say, I'm tired. Okay. Whoa, mercy, Lord. Because the vision that I just had, I just had a picture as I just pictured how we as Americans, we insist on so much for our minimum level of comfort, and we do. We all do. I'm tired. I'm hungry. This isn't going the way I want it to go. And I just had this picture of certainly all these kids, these people in the infirmary, the family on the mountain, family of 11 living in one little shack. A few weeks ago before we left, Don showed you a couple pictures of that corrugated iron, shack that they were all living in that needed to be rehabilitated in order for the state to not take this beautiful young child who prays like an angel in order to keep them from taking them away. And I see the joy that they have in that situation. I'm there mixing cement for them, and I'm singing that last song that we sang about, following Jesus. And I'm just kind of humming it to myself. It's pouring rain outside. I'm soaking wet. But we're just still just mixing away. And MacDonald, who's doing this beautiful stucco work on the walls, he says, "What you singing, Mom?" And I said, "Well, it's a song from our VBS." And I started singing it, loud, the whole thing. And then I started doing the hand motions. And Tia and Tanisha, a couple of the girls there, they're following me along. Whatever. But and they're all, and so that was, I taught the whole place this thing, and I'm, Mama's down in the back washing her laundry in three buckets, just like a wash and a rinse and hanging them up, and it's been raining and it's on a hillside, and she falls down and she's just lying on the ground laughing because she's just having a good time because she's alive and she knows Jesus. I'm tired. I want McDonald's. Mercy. I tell you, so if it takes going to another country in order to get your perspective fixed on that, well, then do it. But if not, if you're able to take more, then take the seeds of these testimonies, and take them to heart. And don't just let it be some nice thing that I heard at church this morning. Oh, they had a nice time. Oh, they really blessed a lot of, oh, yeah, it was nice. We all got to change. And like everybody's saying here, I also encourage you all to go. But more than encouraging you simply to go on a mission trip, I encourage you to grasp hold of God's idea that missions are what he's about. He said, go and make disciples. So if you're not going, then provide, support. But fully get into it, because a lot of you supported this team in a lot of ways, in prayer and financially and with the rides. Thank you so much for taking care of that, guys. That was wonderful. And you get a full share of the reward. You get a full share of the reward. It's not something that happened elsewhere. So if you want to take a hold of it and have these realities be a part of you, then just agree with God. That's the job. Go and make disciples. He didn't say, oh, yeah, I got a list of about 10 things here. What's number four here is go and make disciples. That's the job. So the other main thing that this morning we went into the community that many of the people in the spoken word outreach, the church where we were, Many of these people live in a community. It's several miles up the road. They walk quite a ways. And I want to tell you what, it ain't America. It ain't America. Some of the wonderful people that were involved, you know, with Donna Lee, this beautiful young thing who was involved very much with us. And as we're walking along there, she goes, you know, that's my house, proudly. And I want to tell you, it was made of corrugated iron, kind of painted up some. It had no windows. They had, I'm not sure how many people are in her family, but a lot of people live in that house. 14. It's another perspective. But we walked through that whole community there, just touching people. We'd walk into places. There was a couple of places there where we'd walk up where they have these little, they put little storefronts and bars in anything. I mean, we would call them a bus stop here, but they call it a bar. And they, you know, they hang around there and, you know, gamble. But we just went around and we told them all that God loved them. And we found out what they needed and we prayed for them. You know, there were some places there, like in those places where we kind of had to hold our breath while we were doing that, or we would have been consuming illegal substances. You know, but that was okay. It was okay because they were receptive. I'm telling you, this is an amazing people. It's a people where one of our memory verses is John 3:16. You know, did we have to teach it to them? No. You know why? Because every single person on that island knows that verse by heart. They learn it in school. They can fire it off like this. But every person that someone else referred to the legalism, you know, yeah, they can recite scripture. They are, in a legalistic sense, kind of forced to. Christianity is presented to them, but not our Christianity. Not a Christ in me, the hope of glory, power of God. My life is different. Not that, but just something that I'm supposed to do. So as we walk through all that community, so we have the Rastas, we have the, you know, the obviously the, you know, it's kind of different that the drug influence here is, we think of it as this illicit thing, but there it's just something that everybody does. But you know what? It's still, they're still just as limited in, by that. But there was, as we walked through that community, there were people that were bound up in every conceivable way. And many of them came down that night. Many of them came down that night to service. And I preached that night. And I'll tell you plainly, it was the most difficult experience I've ever had. Now, I'm not the most talented preacher, but I don't generally have a problem bringing the word. And there was all the stuff that came down off of that hill was there, and it was like I was standing there with a brisk headwind blowing against me the whole time, so that I had to like plod through my message, just going scripture by scripture, just to keep from being blown off the track. But at the end of it, I called everyone in the room to make a choice on how they were going to respond to Jesus. In some cases, it was a matter of whether they wanted to, take that first step, you know, to be born again. In others, it was just like, well, is this going to be somebody else's Jesus, or is it going to be mine? And many of them, you know, responded. Many of them made a choice. There were seeds planted. There was something happened. So it was worth pushing through. So I'm not sure that was a lesson for me. That was a growing experience for me. Now, I could preach that message right now in 15 minutes. I don't know how long it took me that night, but So the last thing I want, this, I'm driving here this morning, and this is what came to me, because all these VBS songs are like so stuck in my head, you wouldn't believe it. Like, they're playing all the time. So this one, this last one we did here, the cross before me, the world behind me, I fix my eyes on him. That's a great song. It's catchy. That's the idea, right? Except for this is what I realized this morning, that this this country that is so filled with, so bound with legalism, voodoo, holy moly, I want to talk about voodoo, the marketplace was like, walking through it. It was like trying to suck you in like mire. But this place, the notion of spiritual power is not foreign to them. But if we're going to have a message they're going to hear, then we need to bring that message with power. Or it's just their third grade teacher making them recite John 3:16. So here's the deal. The cross before me, the world behind me, the problem with that is that's not what we're called to. That's not the truth. The fact is this. The world's behind me, and so is the cross. The cross is behind me, because if you're dead to sin, then Jesus is already taking care of that stuff. You see, if you're dead to sin, then you're on the other side of the cross. So it's the cross behind me and the world way back farther behind that. Because otherwise, you're stuck in this middle place in between. The cross before me, the world before me. And it's always this tension thing here, where what you're trying to do is look to the cross to get the power to overcome what's already been taken care of, to overcome the sin in your life right now. That sin went into the bosom of Jesus and died on the cross. So, but if we just keep bringing it back, it's like, oh yes, oh, Lord, give me the power to overcome this. It's done. Take hold of who you are. Step beyond the cross. Allow yourself, as someone else here said, to die. You, whatever you think you're holding on to, whatever I think I'm holding on to that I'm unwilling to let go of, is not worth it. That's it. I'm done.
Amen, amen. Come on, bless the Lord, because he is worthy. And I want to tell you as a leader that I'm so proud of this team to see how God used each and every one of them. You know what I mean? Even when tensions got up, they said, Don, you going to do so? I said, no, I ain't. Because, see, you got to understand, I've been doing this a long time. And I know when the flesh rises up, that's God working on you. You can blame everybody else, but that's God working on you. And that's what we don't like. And God worked it all out. I just stepped back. Where's the Jamaica team that went last year? Stand up right quick. Jamaica team. Everybody went to Jamaica last year. The only reason why this trip was better than last year is because of you. Only because of you. Because God told Joshua, send the priest in first. Yous went in first before we in. And then, like the apostolic order, the big guys came on through. Because I thank God I sat with Bill and Linda, and I talked with them, and I told them about the thing. And she gave me carte blanche to do whatever I want to do. That's why I baptized people when she wasn't there. It's because the pastor told me I could do whatever I wanted to do, that she had confidence in us because of you. Because of you. Don't ever let anybody undermine what you did. Because if you didn't go in there and break up that fallow ground, we would have never, ever been able to do what you do. Because you set such a strong foundation, and as a builder, and Josh will tell you, if the foundation ain't strong, I don't care what type of building you build, there's going to be cracks in it. But because you built such a strong foundation, it was easy for me to step in there and stand, and let's build this thing even greater. There's so many greater things that's going to come out of this, but I'm always submitted to the leadership. I got to talk to Vaughn first before I open my mouth about anything, okay? It's just the way I am, all right? That's just the way I am, and after me and Vaughn talk, then you'll hear all the rest, okay? But everything that everybody said, I just, you know, I'm a word preacher, so, and we came to church, and everybody wanted to hear a word anyway besides the testimonies. Matthew 8, right quick. This is when Jesus was coming down off of the mountain from the Sermon on the Mountain, okay? And the first person he runs into is this leper, all right? And I was grateful that I opened it up Sunday, and I talked about the willingness of God. Because, see, what you have to understand about this guy and the way that he approached Jesus, okay? He said, if you are willing to cleanse me, and that's the way a lot of you are with God. Why? Because this guy was, because of ceremony and because of legalism that Gary was, here is the Savior of the world, and he's asking him, are you willing? And the first thing God wants to change in a lot of people's lives is your theology and the way that you look at God. Yes, he's willing. He went to the cross. And that's what you have to understand, the willingness of God to get involved in your life. God was always willing to get involved in our lives. Don't ever think that God's not willing to get involved in your life. God's not willing to get involved in your marriage. God's not willing to get involved in this thing with your children. With everything that was going on in your life, your finances and everything else, God is willing to get involved in your life. But see, the man approached Jesus. For everybody that's there, it said, when he came down from the mountain, a great multitude found him. And behold, which means look, a leper came to him and worshiped him. See, a lot of times we just want to go to God with just a checklist. But we don't want to say, God, thank you that I just woke up this morning. Because everybody we left in Jamaica would trade places with you right now. Right now. And all we do is murmur and complain about everything that is going on in our lives and don't realize you're standing in holy ground. America's the greatest country in the world. Yeah, we got issues. Yeah, we got issues. But this is the greatest country in the world. But like I said, the willingness of God to get in your life when you start worshiping God every day in your life, when you start praising God every day in your life, when you start thanking God every day in your life for just the simple things that you got in your life. This man full of leprosy, and he called him Lord. Evidently, he knew about Jesus. It said a great multitude followed him up. But because he was ceremonially unclean, the big boy said, you can't go up. But Jesus changed that whole atmosphere. Jesus changed everything because Jesus said, he said, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. Verse 3 says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, the leprosy was clean. Verse 4 says that Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourselves to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Jesus said, the same people that tried to keep you out of my goodness, the same people that tried to keep me out of the mercy, these same boys that got all these rules and regulations, now go show yourself to them. God is willing to get involved in each and every one of your lives. God is a willing God. And he's just waiting for all of us to come to the place. Well, Lord, I don't care if the wind is blowing. I don't care how much rain is coming. I don't care how deep the flood water is at. Am I still willing to worship him for him to clean up the leprosy that's in our lives? The problem with the modern day church is we can't see what's going on inside of you. And some of you's got leprosy inside of you. Some of you got spots that still need to be healed. Some of you got unforgiveness that you got to get rid of. Some of us got bad attitudes and everything else. You know, thank God for all of that. But the reality of it is, if we don't look at ourselves, because Jesus is willing to heal all of our hurts, all of our illness, all our sicknesses, all of our diseases. And we did talk about John 3:16, which teaches us that there was always a willingness for God to get involved in our lives. always a willingness for God to get involved in your life. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care the situation. I don't care the circumstance. I go through them too. You know, you always say Pastor Don is always smiling and everything. Yeah, because I learned to fight. See, my trouble, my troubles. My trouble don't trouble me. I trouble my trouble. Yeah, I go through trouble. And I give my problems to the problem solver. When I can't solve them, I know who to do. Who can solve them? I'll go into a praise. That's my wife will tell you, 5:30 in the morning, she told the Jamaica team, you got them now. Get ready. 5:30 in the morning, this guy's going to be screaming hallelujah. I hope you're all ready for that. Okay? Because it's a war. We forget about that. Gary was talking about this. And some of them might have missed it because they were caught up in everything that we're in. But there was a war going on over there. But guess what? We won. Why? Because from the cross, it was already taken care of. When Jesus said, it's finished, it's finished. And that's what you have to understand. The willingness of Jesus Christ to get involved in your life to make you more than a conqueror. Make you more than a conqueror. Even in your worst condition, you're still more than a conqueror. Because he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness and let them have dominion over the works of our hands. That's a place of authority that God gave you, male and female. All of you have authority. But the question of it is, am I going to start stepping into my authority? Am I going to start walking in the way that God wants me to? Because why? My Bible says we have a willing Jesus. I have a willing God that all I got to do is come and worship him. God, can you make me clean? God, can you strengthen my marriage? God, can you speak to my children? God, can you get rid of this, like Grace said, this attitude that I got, that I know I got. But see, the thing of it is you got to be willing to look into the mirror of your life and see what it is. Because that's what God does. He brings people around you that irritate your last nerve because that's what you're doing to him. But I want you to understand, church, this was such a blessing because, you know, I've been on these mission trips for a long time, but I miss my wife so much. Kim, I love you so, so much. I tapped you in the place of God of love. I've been away from my wife for months at times, but I missed her so much, so much. Listen, don't ever think that there's not a place in God that you cannot touch deeper in him. And that's what he wants. And I thank God for this because I found that place about the two becoming one. That even though I was preaching, even though I was doing it, I was empty in that place because of the oneness wasn't there with me. And I want you to understand that's what this is all about. Church, it's all about the love of Christ. Be grateful for your family. Be grateful for your church. Be grateful for everything that you got. Come here, Ashley, because we're getting ready to send another one out. We're getting ready to send another one out. The oldest of Elaine and Josh. But guess what? She's going by herself. She's going by herself. Come on, church. 16, how old are you now? 16 years old, and she's getting ready to get on a plane to go to South Africa, but it's not all is not in vain because the Lord placed upon my heart. I know plenty of people in South Africa. Somebody going to meet you at that airport and get you on that other thing. I ain't crazy, all right? I ain't crazy, all right? Because you have to transfer when you're getting there. I tell you what you got to do. You got to go to the left. I've been there many, many times. All right, the domestic line, you got to go up to the left and get on a domestic line, which is going to take you to Zambia because I've been there too. All right, but this is what it's all about, that we come back and another one goes. We come back and then another one. We have to be just like JFK. As one is leaving, another one's taking off. Because as we was taxiing, another one was taking off. Another one was coming down. Another one taking off. Because this is what it's all about. We're going to pray for Ashley, and then we're going to pray for everybody. Jamaica team's going to pray for anybody. Listen, search your hearts. search your hearts and say, God, this is the issue. And when you come up here, this is the issue. God, it has to be removed from my life. Why? Because I know that you're willing. God, you're willing to cleanse me. You're willing to heal me. You're willing to deliver me from this. From this. And just like them, my life has been changed too. If you think, oh, God, he's going to go higher. But I'm going higher. You know what I mean? I have a greater determination, you know, for the Lord, greater determination for this church. Why? Because I'm a pastor in this church. And I was telling these guys right quick, do you know how many churches could wish they had three pastors that could go on the same mission team? And I've been on many mission teams going to South Africa, and there's been like four or five pastors, but they ain't been all from the same church. And taking three pastors out of this church and this church still run the way it runs, that's a blessing. Know that you're in a place that other people wish that they could be. Are we perfect? No, we're not. But we serve the perfect one. All right? And there's a perfect place in him. If we all get to it, all the other stuff, the little petty issues and everything else, are going to fall off. And this will become the place of living water. Amen? Because that's God's desire. Amen?